Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna. Flavor Fest family, we are back. We had a little bit of a hiatus this summer. You know, it's been a crazy summer, right? So we got a great interview lined up today with a guy from New York City, actually from Queens, where the epicenter of COVID was. He's gonna tell some of his story. Both him and his wife ended up in the hospital. It was crazy. This guy, he pastors a super diverse church in Queens, and he's actually not even from there originally. He actually is from Australia. You're gonna hear it in the accent. And he actually has a unique story in the way he's connected with Flavor Fest. That's actually what got him to New York City. But before we get there, the funny thing is, I was interviewing him about New York City being the epicenter, and then shortly after that, a few weeks after that, Florida became one of the main epicenters for COVID. And fortunately, you know, some of the death rate and things like that weren't as bad as New York, but it got pretty crazy in Florida for a minute. We had a big spike in cases, and even your boy right here had to go and get tested for COVID because my daughter was sick. So what was the results? I'm gonna tell you all about it at the end of the interview, but we're gonna get right to it here in a second. But wait a minute, guys, let me tell you this news, because people have been asking, what about Flavor Fest? And so we took a little break on the podcast, but we're back now, and the decision was made, since we're back, that we have postponed Flavor Fest in person for 2020. That's right, so we pushed it back to October of 2021. I know, super disappointing. We waited until the beginning of July to make that decision, hoping things would continue to get better. But then when we hit that spike, not only in Florida, but in a lot of other places around the country, that began to happen, you know, late June and into July, we're just like, man, it's a wrap. But the good news is, guys, listen, we are still gonna do something for leaders, because we know leaders need information, they need resources, they need encouragement, inspiration, ideas, community connection in some way, shape, or form. We need that right now. So we're still gonna do a one-day Flavor Fest virtual conference. It's gonna be on Saturday, October the 24th. And guess what, y'all? It's gonna be free. That's right, we're gonna make it free. You're gonna have free access to watch it with your team. We're gonna have two general sessions. We're gonna have a number of breakout workshops that you could choose from. It's gonna be incredible. So all the details and the registration is gonna be at flavorfest.org. If you go to this right when this podcast drops, it might say coming soon, but it is coming really soon. So probably by the time you're watching this or listening to this, it's live. So check out flavorfest.org and get all the details. And so I'm gonna tell you about my COVID test in just a minute, couple of minutes, but we're gonna get right to this interview with my man, Evan Pete, from Australia, then via New York City. Check it out. Evan, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Hey, Pastor Tommy's in the house.
It's good to see you, man. My brother from Australia, but now via New York City, the epicenter of this whole crisis, man. You guys, we're going to talk about COVID and how you guys survived it in just a little bit, but how you guys feeling right now? You doing okay?
We're doing much better. You know, there's still, you know, a lot of people have got PTSD, man. There's like a lot of people that are struggling. You know, so many people have lost someone that they know or someone that's related to them. And it's just crazy what it's like up here.
Wow. Yeah, man, we've been praying for you guys, and we haven't gone through anything like that at all down here in Florida. I know we got people listening to this podcast from all over the country and even people in other countries. So there's all kinds of different stories, and it's affected people in a lot of different ways, but it's definitely been a lot of pain, a lot of, you know, new ways that we've had to figure out how to lead and how to live. And I heard you talking just a minute ago earlier, like someone was going out and you're asking, hey, you need a mask? You know, I know it's like, it's serious up there right now still. So, well, man, before we get into all the COVID stuff, I want to talk a little bit about you, and so people can get to know you a little bit better. and hear a little bit of your story and how you're connected with Flavor Fest all these years. So when I first met you, it was actually via email, and you had emailed us from Australia as you were kind of just starting some of your ministry and reaching out to hip hop culture over in Australia, man. So share a little bit about that and how we got connected.
Yeah, so I was a graffiti writer and a pretty average MC, but you know, I used to make some hip hop. And when we started the church, we said we wanted to create a church that we can invite our friends to. And we were like, who's doing this? And so we just Googled hip hop church and found a couple of people that were doing things. And we wrote to everyone.
Yeah.
And pretty much you guys were the only ones that ever actually wrote back to us. And I think you sent us like a parcel that had like some... had back in those days of CDs, and yeah, had like a CD with a couple of services on it and copies of the Soul Mag and stuff. And so we were just like, man, this is stuff that we'd never seen. We'd imagined doing,
yeah,
but we'd never seen anyone else doing it. So for us, it was like super encouraging. And then I actually came over there.
Yeah, I remember that, man. I was super excited. Yeah. So when we got your email, I mean, we would get people to contact us from all over and we would try to help them and send resources and this and that. But it really stuck out to me. And I was like, man, I want to send these guys some of our stuff just so they can see it. And then you got it. And then next thing I know, you're like, hey, man, I'm coming to the States. I'm coming to see you.
Yeah, I was going to Haiti and I had to fly out of Miami. So I'm like, if I'm going to be in Florida,
yeah,
I want to come and see this in person. I want to, you know, experience it. And it was amazing. Like I arrived and you guys were doing like a feeding program and stuff. So I was able to like just get right into the thick of it. Because for me, you know, we were still like imagining what we were going to be. We just started ministry and stuff, but we wanted to, you know, we had a lot of the same ethos as you guys, but we'd never like taken how far the dream could go. So you guys were actually already living in what we were imagining. So that was super encouraging for us, you know, for me to actually be on the ground and experience it.
Yeah, man, we're excited to host you. We're like, man, we got some Australians in the building all the way over here. And so then you guys started this ministry over there, not only Embassy Church, which you were pastoring, but then you also started this kind of hip hop outreach ministry called Crosswords. So talk a little bit about that, man, and how that's developed over the years.
Yeah, so we just, again, like my brother, Mystery, he's like a graffiti writer and an MC, and they used to do like shows all over the country. And like they'd be in like this little country church and there'll be some dude in the back with like a Run DMC t-shirt on. And they were just finding that all over the place. And so they just started this network of all these people and just started like as an online chat room. And then once a year they would meet at like this one like Christian conference that wasn't even a hip hop conference. It was like just a bit of a mix of everything, but they would have a hip hop stage and everyone would come to that.
Yeah.
And so they just developed from that. And then the next step was, well, we've got all these people, how do we connect them? And so they started just doing once a month meeting in Sydney. And found from that just opportunities started to open up. And so they started, you know, in Brisbane, which is another city in Australia, Melbourne, pretty much all around the country. And then people started saying, hey, we're from New Zealand.
Wow.
We see what you guys are doing. And then Singapore and then Malaysia. And it was crazy. Like, you know, we were just like these, like who would have thought that Sydney would be reaching out to all these places in relation to hip hop when you think, yeah, of hip hop, you think of New York, you know, like,
yeah.
And so it was just crazy where we're from. And then we started a conference, you know, we brought a team over to come to Flavor Fest. And then we started one in Australia called Uprock. And so that was, and the first Uprock you came to.
Yeah, I remember, man. I remember in Flavor Fest 2010 is when we first got in the building here. It was our 10-year anniversary of Flavor Fest. And you guys, you know, you had already, you came and visited on your own, like you said, when you were going to Haiti. And then your brother, Mystery, he had also come as well. And I think Mystery actually stayed with us for a couple of days. He stayed, I think, in the intern house, and he rapped, and I think we had him do some graffiti in the skate park at our old campus. And so, you know, but you guys were both like, yeah, we got to bring a team over to Flavor Fest. And so then we didn't do Flavor Fest in 2009, because we were in the midst of getting ready to move into the building. So that was like a year we kind of took off.
Before that, it had always been annual. And so Flavor Fest 2010, it was the weekend of 10-10-10, the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It was like perfect marketing, right? So we were like rushing to try to get in on time. That's a whole nother story. But I remember you came with the whole squad. And I remember we were hanging out at the hotel that we used to, be the official conference hotel right up the street, the Comfort Inn. That hotel was, it was hood, bro. Anyways, it got torn down. We were actually meeting there. When we sold our old campus, we met at that hotel for about 9 months before we moved in the building. But I remember we were at the hotel talking, and you guys were like, man, we got to do something like this over there for our whole hemisphere. And I never even heard somebody like use that terminology before, like we're going to do something for our hemisphere. I'm like, wow, that sounds epic. And so they're like, we're going to call it Up Rock. And you guys invited me to it. You're like, man, we want to bring you over as one of the speakers and MCs the first year. And then sure enough, you guys followed through. In 2011 was the first Up Rock. I was honored to be able to come over and be a part of it. And one thing I'll say this, man, about the Australian Christian hip hop scene and just the hip hop scene period over there, like you guys are so talented and so skilled, and you take the culture so serious. Like in America, if someone raps, that they're just an MC. But you guys over there, almost everybody does multiple elements. Some of you guys do all of them. So like you'll meet someone that raps and they're a graffiti artist and they breakdance a little bit. And then someone else that they're a DJ and they do graph and they dabble a little bit. You know, you guys take the culture serious. And hip hop over there was a lot more lyrical and a lot more like that 90s boom bap, you know, like we've kind of lost a lot of that in the States, you know, over time. But you guys kind of have that real lyrical, like golden era style. And I loved it, man, because I'm from Philly originally and I was just like, man. So Up Rock was amazing. So how's Up Rock going? What's been some of the history of that?
Yeah, so I mean, Up Rock started then in 2011, and I think you were there for the first year, and Braille and B-Boy Dizzy, I think, were the ones we brought out. Yeah. We always tried to bring out, like, get the best bang for our buck. So someone who can do multiple things, you know, you're able to rap and speak, and you know, someone, if someone's a DJ and a beat maker or a producer, yeah, or even like in the industry of hip hop. And so over the years, you know, we've been able to connect, and it's continued to grow into, you know, other places, like we said, in Asia and South Africa and other places around there. So Up Rock as a conference is still going. They moved it to Brisbane for a while. I'm not sure what's going to happen this year with all the restrictions. But even last year, it was amazing to see like the real spiritual focus. Like even though like hip hop is one of the things that unites a lot of the people,
yeah,
we still want to empower people to reach people for the gospel with using their gift.
Definitely.
It's not just about being a good rapper, because at the end of the day, you know, you can just be rapping for the world, but we wanted people to really get a, you know, grow in the spirit and see people that they admire actually minister to them, you know, and that's continued to go. It's changing again and morphing, and now there's a whole younger generation that are doing it, and they're doing some different things, and like the other states are taking the lead more now. So probably when you came, there was a few guys from Brisbane. Now Brisbane or Queensland, the state, has got multiple sites, and they got a whole bunch of young dudes, and there's like a whole movement of hip hop coming out of Australia, which is called drill, and they're like ministering into that drill community and stuff. So there's really cool things are continuing to happen, and Mystery, he's kind of more like an overseer now. Like he's married at last and he's got a baby and stuff. So
he's bishop now.
Yeah, he's like the elder statesman. And I mean, he's still doing stuff. He's still, you know, because of his graffiti, it sort of takes him all over the place.
Yeah.
And gives him opportunities as a hip hop missionary, you know, to go into places. And, you know, he gets to go to like, you know, B-boy R16 and things like that, and speak to B-boys and graffiti writers all over the world. So they're still continuing to do things, but the face is changing and stuff, which it needed. It needed to have a new generation, because, you know, like, you know, the younger ones, the hip hop is different. You know, we can't all live in the Rakim Public Enemy era, you know, like.
Yeah, so, we want to stay there, but it's always evolving and changing. And yeah, man. Yeah. And your brother, by the way, man, he's probably going to listen to this. Shout out to Mystery. He's an incredibly talented graffiti artist. There's a lot of murals here around our building that he's come over and painted. He's been here a couple of times on a couple of different trips. And yeah, man, I think we have at least three murals in our building right now that were done by him. And then Gospel Graffiti, they came and did a bunch of stuff at Flavor Fest in 2018. So, but yeah, and then like when Mystery would come, he would rap and then he would sing. Like he would do that Jewish thing, man. Like, and then, oh man, like you guys, he break dances too. You guys do it all, man. So
he can't break as much anymore, man. He's like, you know, yeah, he's carrying a few
injuries. He's an old married man now, you know, but I'm glad he finally settled down, man. We'd always tease him about that.
Yeah.
He'd come over here. All the girls would be trying to holler at him. Like, man, we're going to hook you up with a Puerto Rican girl. He's like, yeah, man, come on, mate. Yeah, but one thing I'll say about Up Rock, man, so absolutely there was so much talent there. And I remember sitting in a graffiti class, and there was like 20 people that were painters, and they went out and were painting this big mural together. But there definitely was a big spiritual focus. And I remember we did that big service in the park on the last day. So it was really a big B-boy jam and a service. And it was a big outreach opportunity and to share the gospel and, you know, it was out in a public setting and all these people were, you know, engaged and listening. And so just, man, that was a great trip that I had that I'll never forget. And one of the guys reached out to me. You guys are working on a compilation for Up Rock this year. And this is going to be, I think he was saying they're getting ready. Is it 10 years now?
It's either 10 or 10 next year. Something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. So he's like, man, we're doing like this special anniversary, you know, compilation and we want to have you on it. You were one of the, you know, the speakers and artists that were here over the years. So they just sent me the beat. I just got to find time to write my verse, man. I picked out the beat that I want to be on. I just got to, but it's nice though, man. So anyways, man, so then you transition from Australia to New York City. That was like a huge jump. And so talk to us a little bit, man, about that. Cause God has different seasons of ministry and man, like Embassy Church, you were the pastor. Yeah, just got the building recently. It was growing. Things were going really well. And then suddenly God's like, no, I want you to go to New York. So
yeah, it was crazy. We actually came to Flavor Fest in 2013. And through Flavor Fest and that, we made connections with the guys from Elements Church in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And we'd connected with them. And Brother E had come to Australia as well. And so when we came to Flavor Fest that year, we went up to New York, spent some time there. I mean, I'm a graffiti writer. I wanted to go 149th Street, you know, that's the widest mansion and all that sort of stuff. So we came over and then when we were in New York, we were staying in Harlem and we're walking down the street, my wife and I, and we just felt God speak to us and say that we needed to resign our church in Australia and move to New York.
Woo.
And wow. I was like, you know, it was like, you know, what you talking about Willis moment, you know?
Exciting, but I'm sure terrifying.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how that's going to work. Like, you know, and our church is just getting to that point where it's like really starting to kick in.
Yeah.
And I just thought like it made no sense. And I'm a church planter, right? So everywhere I go, I want to plant a church. I'm in Singapore. I want to plant a church. Yeah. You know, I'm in London. I want to plant a church. Everywhere I go, I love it, but it leaves. But when I went back to Sydney, you know, it just continued. What are you doing? What are you doing about what I... So
wow.
That was like October of 2013. By June of 2014, we resigned officially from our church. And no real doors were opening for us in New York.
Yeah.
And so we prayed about it and said, God, you're telling us to go, but the doors aren't opening. And so... I just felt impressed to study. And so I enrolled in Bible college in New York and phoned up Brother E and said, we're coming, bro.
Yep.
And so it was crazy how it worked out. Like they had a house and, you know, no one was renting the house. And so, you know, we were able to sort of furnish the house from Australia and the Elements Church, you know, really kicked in and helped set it up for us. So I came here on a student visa. We flew into JFK, got in a couple of cabs.
Wow.
You know, it was like that coming to America, you know, when the Prince of Zamunda has all those
for
bags
real.
On the roof.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. And we turned up at this house in the Bronx, and Brother E was waiting there and was already ready for us to move in. So, wow. You know, they did a great thing helping us out, you know, and really getting us set up. And we were there with them in the Bronx for like 9 months.
Yeah. And you served as one of the associate pastors for that season, right?
Yeah, we came in, and the church had been through a difficult time at the time. And so we were able to come in and just provide that support to Ian, Erica, and we learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot riding the subway from the Bronx to Manhattan every day,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, learning New York. Like it's, you know, I've been in ministry in a city, and, you know, I love hip hop, but I still didn't understand the New York psyche. And so God wanted to do a work of sort of preparing me for what it's like to live in New York. You know, people yeah. come to New York and they go to Manhattan, but they don't realize what it's like in the Bronx, what it's like in Queens, what it's like in Brooklyn, you know, what it's like for New Yorkers that actually live here. And so, you know, God took us on a, you know, crash course of New York. Not that we're by any means experts, but, yeah. you know, we needed to do that preparation.
Yeah, I thought it was just such a cool connection that, you know, you guys met at Flavor Fest, you and Brother E. And I remember it was funny because you were like, yeah, I think it was 2010, right? When you guys were like, we're going to New York. We're going to be here in the States for another like week and a half. We're going to go to New York and be up there. I'm like, man, I got to introduce you to Brother E. Like, and so then you guys connected and he invited you to come to their church that weekend. You guys did a big graffiti piece on the outside of their church. Some of you guys rapped there and that relationship started. And then both you guys were in the same coaching network that I did. So I do a coaching network, for those of you that don't know, with different pastors. I've been doing it for about, I don't know, 9 years now. I do like a group of maybe 8 to 10 pastors for a 6-month semester. And you were in it all the way from Australia. And half the time we couldn't see you because your internet wasn't strong enough. And it was a totally different like time. You know, you were like yeah. 6 or 8 time zones different than we were. And so, you know, we're at nighttime.
You don't know what's even funny about that. Probably what you didn't know is I actually convinced my boss, because I was working full time. I convinced my boss to pay for me to do that. And I would come into the office at like 6 a.m. and sit there and do the cohort. So they, my job actually paid for me to do, because I was like, listen, you know, I want to do some leadership development classes.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. And so they actually paid for it.
Oh, that's great.
So
that's great, man.
Cool.
Yeah, but I know Brother E was actually in that one as well. So you guys continue to build. And then it was crazy that, you know, they were instrumental in helping you actually get settled in New York. And then you were able to be.
I think Scott Free was in there as well, who's now, you know.
Yeah. Crossover. Oh, Scott was in that one with you. Yeah. And Scott is the pastor of our Crossover Atlanta campus. He was on the second episode of the podcast and sharing about how everything is going. So. Yeah, man, it's been really cool, man, the relationships that we've been able to build over the years through Flavor Fest and some of the coaching and stuff. Our heart has always been, man, we want to empower leaders, and that's, you know, what this podcast is about. So it's just another way that we can do that. And so tell everybody, like, what happened after those 9 months you were with Brother E, and, like, what have you been doing now? And
So we were praying, and, you know, we appreciated Elements Church and everything, and we still love them. They're still our brothers and sisters. But, you know, I was praying, going, God, did I move all the way here to do this, or is there something else? And I was sitting there doing an essay in college, and I got a pop-up saying they were looking for a pastor for a church in Queens. And so I just sent them an email. It was just like a one sentence saying, you know, if you're still looking for someone, I'm available. And I sent my resume in there, and at the top it had favorite quote, there is no charge for awesomeness or attractiveness, Kung Fu Panda. And so they're like, what pastor quotes Kung Fu Panda on their resume? We got to talk to this guy.
See, man, I love your sense of humor, bro. It's always like so random. You always have me cracking up every time we get together to talk.
Yeah, and so they interviewed me, and then they shared about what their vision was and what they were trying to do. And you know, it was basically a team that had started a church, and it was in their first year. And we had, they had a pastor who was pastoring in Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
So if people know, it's like about 45 minutes north of the Bronx anyway. And so he was doing a service here and then driving back and pastoring his own church. So he said, I can do it for a year. And in that time, you guys need to find another pastor. Mm-hmm. And so they'd done like an exhaustive process, and they were coming to the end of their time. And
they were like, we want the Kung Fu Panda guy.
That's it. We want the, you know, and they wanted to be a multi-ethnic, you know, urban church.
Yeah.
And, you know, my history was being a multi-ethnic urban church. So it kind of, you know, it was a great fit. And it kind of worked out crazy. A couple of weeks later, you know, when we announced that we were going to be moving on from Elements found a new building. And then within that time as well, Brother Randy Mason came and joined the church. So the Jesus Peace crew turned up.
Yep.
And so God sort of had this transition where we were coming out and new blood was coming in. Mm-hmm. And they got this new spot. And so they actually started service in that new spot the Sunday that we started at Bridge.
Wow.
So like just the whole timing, everything. And those guys are legends, you know, like, you know, Jesus Peace, they're dope MCs, you know, he's a Puerto Rican dude from the Bronx. So it was just like,
yeah,
a great
I love Randy's stuff. Shout out to Randy. And so, that was one thing. I remember when I came to Australia and came to the Embassy Church, I was there, you know, for Up Rock Conference. I was surprised at how diverse it was. I'd never been to Australia before. So I'm just, you know, thinking in my mind, Australia is a bunch of like white guys that look like Crocodile Dundee, and we're going to see kangaroos. But we were in Sydney, like we were in the city, and it was super diverse. And I mean, there was hardly even any white people. There was like Middle Eastern people. There was Asians. There was people from Africa. I mean, it was so diverse. And I even remember every night we went out to eat at a different like kind of food place. We had Chinese one night, Thai another night. We had Lebanese food one night, Greek food the other night. And so, and like your whole church was like so diverse. You had like Samoans and like, you know, just so many different nationalities that were represented. And, you know, even your family, you know, is diverse. Your wife is, tell me your wife's, I don't want to mess up her nationality again.
She's Samoan.
She's Samoan, right? That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So yeah, there's just so much diversity. So you get that. So coming to New York City, which is another huge, big melting pot, especially Queens. That's one of the most diverse actual, you know, the city of Queens, the borough of Queens is one of the most diverse places in the world. And so tell me like what's been happening at the church? How's it been going since you've been there?
So it's been amazing. I mean, when we start, it was interesting. When I came in, the church was like 80% ethnic Indian.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even more. And
so you're pastoring like a predominantly Indian church, and you're Australian, and your wife is Australian Samoan, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
We bought the multicultural from the get-go, you know. But their heart was always to be multicultural. And so they said, look, even if we say we want to do that, if we have an Indian pastor with an Indian leadership team, people are just going to assume that we're an Indian church.
Yeah.
They said, we want someone that's of a different ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we came in, we were able to bring that. And since that, the church has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And so now it's maybe like 60% Indian. And the thing is, even though these people, you know, profess to be Indian, really, they're all born here.
They're New Yorkers, yeah.
Yeah. When I came, I was like, you know, oh, you guys are Indian. You must be into cricket, right? They're like, nah, baseball. You know? Like, I'm a Knicks fan. And I'm like, you poor thing. But so, like, really, the issues of second-generation immigrants are similar between Australia, the UK, America. Yeah. And so we were able to sort of connect into that. And even though my wife's culture is different, a lot of her experiences were very similar to the experiences that they had. And mm-hmm. we'd done a lot of work with like ethnic-based churches in Australia. And so we were able to sort of understand some of the challenges that we would face. And we'd made mistakes before that helped us to be able to minister into this community. And so now the church looks very different from when we started. And it's very young, you know, like I'm one of the old guys, you know, my wife and I, and there's maybe a few couples, but pretty much the majority of the church now are in the sort of 20s to 30s mm-hmm. Age group, a lot of young kids and everything. And, you know, teenagers and college students, you know, New York's such a melting pot. And so the church is really starting to reflect that now, which is exciting.
Oh man, that's beautiful. So back to what we started the whole call with, I want to spend the last part of just sharing a little bit how you guys survived COVID, because both you and your wife got sick. And I know your wife even got hospitalized from it. And I could just imagine what a scary season that was. And I'm sure you've probably had many people in your church that have been affected or know people that have been affected. So, man, share a little bit about what that journey was like and what God has been showing you, what you maybe learned from it.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was my wife and I and three of our children.
Oh, wow.
All had COVID-19. And my wife and I were so sick that we couldn't actually, really care for them at all.
Wow.
And so it was a really difficult time. Thankfully, my mother-in-law is actually here from New Zealand. We adopted my niece 2 years ago. So she's only two, and she's got a heart condition. So we really didn't want her to get sick. And so it just turned out that Maura's mother was here. So she was able to, like, as soon as we realized that we were sick,
thank God,
we quarantined away from her and away from the baby. But eventually our older kids got sick as well. But actually both of us were hospitalized. I was hospitalized first.
Oh, you were hospitalized too.
Yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night and just could not breathe one night. And I'd been sick for like 10 days, 12 days, like the worst sick I've ever been in my life. Like massive temperature, headaches. Like I couldn't even get out of bed. It was really bad. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and just could not breathe, could not get any air into my lungs. So I went upstairs to tell Maura I was sick. And as I ran up the stairs, it took so much energy that I collapsed on the floor. And so she was freaking out. She rang the ambulance. Ambulance came. Thankfully, they gave me some oxygen. And at the hospital, they did a number of tests. And they said that people were just having spasms in their lungs, where the lungs were just seizing up.
Yeah.
And so after, you know, a couple of hours, I was better and I was able to go home the next day. But when I went home, my wife was getting worse and worse and worse. And so thankfully, we have a lady who's an emergency room doctor in our church. And I rang her and said, listen, I'm concerned. So she got Maura on the phone after like 30 seconds, said, give the phone back to Evan. And she said, take it to the hospital now.
Yeah.
Because her breathing was really bad. And so when she got there, she found out that she had pneumonia, she had sepsis, COVID, like the whole nine yards. And for the first 5 days, nothing improved.
Wow.
And going to a COVID ward, it's like something from a movie, you know, where you go and you have to drop the person at the door and you don't know if you're ever going to see them again.
That's scary, man.
And I'd been inside the ward and the beds were like too deep in the hallway. You know, as you're walking in and there's just people everywhere in all these hazmat suits, it's like, you know, I was just freaking out when I went in there. And so to imagine I'm dropping my wife off there. And at the time I was hearing so many stories, there's no visiting, you know, and so like for the first few days I was pretty freaked out. Oh, thankfully, man, by day six, she started to improve. And then day seven, they sent her home. And I was blessed to be able to go and pick her up from the emergency ward. But, you know, so many people in New York are not having that experience at all. They weren't able to, you know, see their loved ones ever again. And that was scary. We couldn't talk because she couldn't even speak because she was so struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
So it was just a couple of texts a day and stuff. And so it was pretty scary experience and time for us.
Wow. Yeah, man, that is super, super scary, bro. So in the middle of being sick and whatnot, like what happened at the church? You're the pastor, you're the lead pastor. You guys are very involved in helping run things. And I know we're all, you know, doing digital church right now, but what did you you know, what happened? You have some team that you delegated stuff to, and were people helping with the kids? And
well, what was crazy about that is it was just starting to, everything was just starting to shut down here.
Okay.
And so the first weekend, we were sick. Our youth pastor was sick. Our worship director was sick. Like all of us had it.
Oh, wow.
So for the first Sunday, we basically said, look, here's a couple of links. Watch someone else's service. That's all we could do.
Wow.
Because we were, like, all of us were taken out.
Yeah.
And you know, we just put a couple of links on our Facebook page and said, you know, you do you for a week.
Wow.
And then the next week we were able to go, okay, let's, you know, get it together and we'll do just something, you know, and mm-hmm. we just recorded in our houses and edited something and we were able to put up service and, you know, we've gradually got from that. But very early on, we realized that the church is at its best in crisis seasons when we're meeting needs.
Yeah.
And so we just started mobilizing what stuff that we can do, you know, what are needs that we could meet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a huge issue with the homeless because, you know, the homeless, you know, a lot of them survive on people giving them money. No one's riding the trains. No one's walking through the city. No one's giving to them,
yep.
you know. And so we connected with some ministries in the city and just started providing them clothes and things like that. They had a lot of people coming through to have a shower because at the time it was all about cleaning your hands and, mm-hmm. and social distancing. How do you social distance if you're homeless? And so, you know, instead of us creating our own ministry, we're like, let's find out who's doing cool stuff.
Yeah, partner with them.
And so we just jumped in and started, you know, finding strategic partnerships. And then even globally as well, we started looking to some of the mission partners that we have. You know, we've been helping out with a brother in Dominican Republic. And, you know, they're in quarantine as well. And a lot of people are day laborers. You know, so if there's no day labor, they got no food to feed their families.
Yeah.
So he was feeding people with his own dime. So we just said, look, you know, we're gonna, you know, help you out as well. So we're able to engage and just mobilize because, you know, no matter how hard you've got it, someone's got it harder.
Absolutely.
And we get healed as we're helping others heal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but there was so much ministry going on at the same time. So many people were losing loved ones, you know. You know, I lost a couple of friends that are pastors here in Long Island and Queens and,
wow.
and you know, people in our church that were losing loved ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, some, you know, one of your brothers, Mike Carrion, you know, he lost 13 people in church. You know, there were other churches around that were really struggling. So we're just like, it was just crisis mode. You know, I had to do a funeral for a lady in our church. Her dad passed away. She wasn't able to see him. You know, when they organized the funeral, they were said they were allowed to have 10 people mm-hmm. in the cemetery, and that's it. Now, this is a Haitian family, Haitian funerals. It's you know, it's so ingrained in their culture to have a celebration.
Yeah, big and crowd there.
Everyone comes together, and to have 10 minutes for 10 people in a cemetery to honor a life of a great man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Was just so heartbreaking for me. But what was even crazier is when we came in, we had to wait for two funerals to finish, and there were another two lined up to come in when we were leaving.
Wow.
And there was like six plots all dug out, right, one after the other. So you come in, next one's in, and they were just rotating them all throughout the day. I've never seen anything like that in my time in ministry. And so many people, you know, you had people that worked in nurses and stuff that had it, gone home for 3 days, got better, and then they were straight back into work. The rest of us were quarantining for 14 days. These guys were straight back in. Or, you know, people like DJ Newman, you know, who works in the hospital, all of a sudden he's in a COVID ward, you know, like it's just intense, the experiences that so many people have. It's like the whole of New York and New Jersey has got post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, like you were saying, that PTSD, that COVID PTSD, there's, you know, some people in my church that have that because they're connected, you know, to some people up north. We have a lot of New Yorkers, you know, in our church and in the Tampa Bay area. So we're filming this, we're recording this. It's like the very end of May. So how are things now as you know, we just see on the news, like the curve has been flattening, it's getting better. What's the vibe like in New York? And, you know, when do you think things are going to start to begin to reopen, I guess, a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, we're watching the rest of the country open up. Like, we're watching people at the beach in Florida.
Yeah, man, we're open here, bro. Not 100%, but, I mean, there's a lot of people out and people are doing stuff. I had lunch at a restaurant today and, you know, so there's a lot of normalcy that's starting to come back. It's a new normal, but.
Yeah. So we don't have any of that here yet. You still can't go into a store without a mask on. You have to line up for an hour and a half to get into Walmart.
Wow.
You know, there's no restaurants open, only for takeaway or delivery.
Yeah.
There's, you know, even though they said, you know, the president came out and said you can open the church on Memorial Day weekend, the reality is that people are gun shy here.
Yeah. Well, they're gun shy here too. We're not open yet. It's going to be a little while.
So we're working on a plan, but I think even when we have a plan, even when we do meet in person, we're going to keep doing our services online,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we just don't want to put people at risk. Like even for us, our daughter's got a heart condition, you know, she doesn't understand the concept of social distancing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a while before she's in the church. So, you know, we're still going to need to provide that platform and that opportunity for people that, you know, and not make them feel guilty that, hey, if you don't want to be here, you're still part of our church. We still love you. We still minister to you, you know? And so we're just having to diversify how we minister, you know, we were just having a planning meeting today and, you know, we can't pass around offering buckets anymore.
Yep.
We
can't. Contactless services. Yeah. We're moving to all that, but everybody's been learning to give online now anyways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Most of our church already did, but yeah, we're not going to pass a bucket ever again. We have a Dropbox in the back of the room, and if you want to give physically, just drop it back there on your way out. And but there's a lot of pastors are listening to this and church planners, and so there's a lot of changes and a lot of new normals as we get ready to reopen up. I know in parts of the country there's already churches open. Here in Tampa, a lot of churches are going to start reopening in June. We're going to wait a little longer. We're going to let them go first and learn from them. But everything I've been hearing is most churches that are opening back up, there's only 25 to maybe 40% of the crowd that's actually physically coming back. And so I think, you know, so we're on the mindset of like, if we wait a little longer, you know, people are going to get a little more comfortable as things have been open longer and they're going to feel more comfortable with coming back. If we do it so soon, you're going to have a small crowd and a lot of people are going to be wearing masks and it's going to be really weird. And so we're continuing to watch like here, the rate of people getting infected and the death rate has really in the past week has really dropped significantly. I think in the whole state, only like 7 people passed away several days this week and 0 in the Tampa Bay area several days. And the amount of infections has dropped by hundreds, even just in the past week per day. So it's, and a lot of the infections and deaths have been in nursing homes here in Florida. There's a lot of nursing homes. People joke around and say people come to Florida to die. A little bit of that's true, but we got a lot of younger people too. So church leaders that are out there listening, this is definitely a new season as we get ready to reopen. And I'm just praying for everybody out there that we all have wisdom. We don't rush into anything. And we also take into consideration not only people's safety, but people's feelings and what they've gone through. And like you said, Evan, not to make people feel guilty if they're not ready to come back yet and continuing to do stuff online. We were already doing online stuff for many, many years, but you know, that's going to future. Like we've realized now there's a great ministry opportunity, great evangelism opportunity. So, you know, online is just only going to get stronger. You can't fight it now.
Yeah.
It can be a good thing. So use it for good. So man, we're praying for you, Evan.
I'm tripping off some of your ideas, man.
Go ahead, man. We're praying for you.
I was picking your brains. How do you do this? How do you do this? And so we just started a new team called the Stream Team.
And Stream Team. There you go.
Yeah, it's going to be all about the Stream Team and the Clean Team. But
oh yeah, there you go. For real.
Yeah. Getting
two very important teams moving forward in the church. Well, man, we're praying for you, bro. Thank you for being on today. I'm going to ask you to close in prayer, man, and pray for everybody that's watching this out there. I always have my guests close in prayer. But really quick, man, before you do that, we're going to do something. You're the first one. This is episode 8. Wow. But we're going to do the Flavor Fest 5, okay? So I'm going to give you five questions. You got to answer them really quick, like within 5 seconds, okay? So you ready, man?
Yeah.
Flavor Fest 5, here we go, baby. You're the first one. Okay, so who was your favorite artist at Flavor Fest?
Bro.
Okay, who was your favorite workshop speaker or general session speaker?
You, man.
Oh, man, come on, man. All right, so one thing that you love about Flavor Fest?
Just people come from all over the world that love Jesus and love hip-hop.
All right, who did you meet at Flavor Fest? Somebody you could think of that you met?
Scott Free.
All right, last question. How many people did you bring with you to Flavor Fest?
9, I think.
All right, awesome. There you go, man. The first Flavor Fest 5. Knocked it out. Well, hey, man, love you, man. Thanks for jumping on. Go ahead, man. Pray for everybody, man, before we end.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you so much that you're good to us. And none of what's happening in our world right now is a surprise to you. And Lord, I pray that this would be an opportunity that even though people are hurting and in despair, that in the midst of darkness, the light can shine brighter. And so, Lord, we thank you that your word says that darkness endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so, Lord, we look forward to the new day that we're coming into. And as churches and leaders and ministers around the country, I pray that you would help us to be effective in ministering to this world and seeing your harvest continue to grow. And Lord, we thank you for Crossover Church. We thank you for Pastor Tommy and Lucy. We thank you for their ministry and their leadership to leaders around the world. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening here. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to them through this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So thank God Evan and his wife are healthy. They're good. They made it through COVID. New York City is in a much better place than it was back in April and back in May. And then, like I said earlier in the podcast, then it shifted and the epicenter became Florida. Even right here in Tampa, we were seeing a lot of cases. It actually took us 2 months for us to get to 1,000 cases in Hillsborough County. It wasn't until like May that we hit 1,000 cases here. By the end of June, we were seeing over 1,000 cases a day. Yeah, it got crazy. So your boy had to go get tested because my daughter woke up sick and had some of the symptoms. And then the next day she was still sick. We're like, we're going to get tested. You got some symptoms. So thank God she actually got better after about 2 days. But when we got our test back a week later, we were positive. We had COVID. Yep, the cameraman is still wearing his mask right now. He's scared of me. No. So praise God. Listen, God's grace and protection was on us. My daughter got better literally in like 2 days, and I never got sick at all. Neither did my wife or my younger daughter. We were all asymptomatic. That's what they call it. So I got the antibodies now. I'm good. God protected us. Took a lot of vitamins. Take your vitamin D, your vitamin C, your zinc, your regular multivitamin, get your rest, exercise, eat healthy. All those things are super important, y'all. So I'm praying for you guys that y'all stay healthy and stay safe. So listen, next week we got an incredible episode coming for you. We back on track and we got my man Zonti. And Zonti actually was at Flavor Fest. I remember when he was just at Flavor Fest walking around in 2016. Like, he was a teenager, he was in awe of everything. And then God began to do this miracle in his life and gave him this song that became a hit. It's called God Taught Me. You probably heard it. So here's a little snippet from next week. Check it out.
And God Taught Me was, I rushed to make it for a New Year's show that I had out in Orlando, a place that was called 3-in-1 Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing a New Year's show there. And this was right after like Flavor Fest. So I had just gotten like this inspiration of like, yo, I want to be an artist. I had learned a lot about branding, a lot about growth. And that's when I changed my name to Zonti, something more concise, something more unique. Had really prayed into all that, right? So I was like, okay, I got this New Year's show coming up. Let me make a song that I can perform as my closing song. And it'll be my first single as Zonti.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks, bro. Couldn't do anything. Then I had this moment where I just said, God, I surrender. I give it to you. And I tell this story because I want to make sure he gets the credit.
Yeah.
I went to sleep at 3:40 a.m. I woke up with the melody. The next day, the entire thing, mix and everything. I did it on the equipment you see behind me, was done in an hour and a half, whole song, like as you hear it.
Wow.
And I you know, nobody knew about it until that video. We shot that video on a borrowed camera with my brother and the two other guys who were in it were strangers. We had met at a mall and we said, hey, want to be in a video with us? And I had invited like 30 people and nobody was available that day. Now I can invite 30 people and they'll be like, when and where, you know, but yep. It's like, we didn't have,
there'll be 130 like, cause they're going to tell some friends. Can they come too? Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, so next week it's going down with Zonti. Super proud of him and what God is doing in this young man's life. And by the way, if you didn't catch it earlier in the podcast, FlavorFest 2020 is actually postponed until October 2021. But October the 24th of this year, 2020, we are going to do a virtual conference, just a one day, and it's going to be free. We want to give you guys resources and help you during this pandemic. It's been crazy. We know it's been super challenging. It's been hard to be a leader. So go to flavorfest.org. You can get registered. And hey, if you enjoyed the podcast today, please do me a favor. Subscribe to it. Like it. Go ahead. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, and rate it. All of that helps. Share this with some other leaders. Man, we want to empower ministry leaders in the ministry and marketplace, and entrepreneurship and music and all those things. We want to help you guys go to the next level. And listen, if you guys are a pastor or you're a church leader, it's been hard to like run a church right now. Many of us are not even back to having church physically in person yet. And so it's been challenging. But I want to encourage you guys through this whole thing. Our church has actually been creative and innovative, and we've learned to thrive. Our church is actually in a really healthy place in spite of all this, right? So how did we do that? I actually just filmed a course. It's called How Your Church Can Thrive During the Pandemic. And it's actually, by the time you're watching this, it might be out, but it's releasing around the end of August, beginning of September. So you can go to my Instagram, UrbanD813. I have some info on there, a link in the link tree. You can check it out, how you can get your hands on that. There's a bunch of bonuses, all kinds of stuff in it. Because the bottom line is, guys, I don't want to see you just survive in ministry. I want to see you guys thrive. So yo, until next time, I'm Urban D. Peace.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.